Vielen Dank für den Vortrag und das Eindrucksvolle.
Was ist verstehbar? Ich will nicht erteilbar machen. Verstehen, verstanden haben Sie fast alles? Okay, gut.
Also, wir haben Zeit für die Diskussion und haben die Fragen.
Zum Beispiel. Sprechen Sie langsam, ich versuche zu verstehen. Und natürlich, D'Angelo wird mir helfen. Laut und langsam.
Ja, das werde ich tun. Vielen Dank für Ihren Vortrag und ja, über Rekonstruktion von dem, was Heideggers politisches Denken hätte sein können. Ich habe mich gefragt, weil Sie ja so viel Wert auf die Gegenwart, also die Situation, die aktuelle politische Lage legen. Was passiert wäre, wenn Sie diesen Vortrag, sagen wir, vor der Occupy-Bewegung gehalten hätten? Also es scheint mir so, dass diese Art und Weise, über grundlegende politische Probleme zu sprechen, also mit der Seinsgeschichte zu verbinden und zu betonen, es geht darum, Politik sozusagen als Ereignis zu machen. Diese Worte oder diese Ideen haben irgendwie ihre Kraft verloren. Also ich weiß nicht, was passiert wäre, wenn Sie sozusagen dies mit diesen Worten von denjenigen gesprochen hätten, ja, gerade aktuell revolutionär denken. Und meine Frage an Sie wäre, woran könnte das liegen?
Meine Frage ist, wiederholen, diese letzte Frage.
Also, warum, wenn meine Vermutung richtig ist, dass diese Worte wie sein, Ereignis, es gibt, Geschick, wenn die ihre Kraft verloren haben, woran liegt das? Warum ist das? Oder ist das ein Eindruck, den Sie nicht teilen
würden? Chiedersi
come queste parole sono estremamente astratte, essere, storia, eccetera. Se lei avesse tenuto questa stessa conferenza davanti alla gente che oggi a New York occupa Wall Street, come avrebbero reagito e perché queste parole oggi hanno perso la loro forza, la loro rilevanza politica?
Sì, questo può darsi. Ho capito. Dov'è il mio acqua? Ok, ich habe verstanden. Ja, naturalmente, of course. I go on in English. You understand all. My English is very understandable because it is not English at all. It's just a sort of Esperanto. Horrible Esperanto. I understand what you mean. I am also a politician. That's a politician. I am confronted with questions of this kind every time I speak to a, not in an in an academic milieu, but in a political milieu. Of course, I am also a politician, but I am first of all a philosopher. So I bring, I insist on all these points because my impression is that the link, the left-wing parties, the left-wing opinion in Europe and in the West has lost any philosophical strength. So nobody calls himself anymore a Marxist. Many political communist leaders in Italy say, generally, no, I never was a Marxist, never was a communist. No, I never was a communist until the end of Stalinism. I was a good Catholic against Soviet Russia and so on. But now I can be a communist, exactly because I was not a communist before. I rediscovered Marx by discussing with my American colleagues, or the people of Wall Street. I mean, they have clear ideas about the fact that capitalism is constituting its own killer. Because if you consider the last 20 or 30 years, the globalization and so on, the difference between rich and poor has increased enormously. The number of the poor has increased, the number of the rich has been reduced. So it was, this is what Marx foresaw in the Capital. Is the solution the Marxian one? I don't know. I think that in this sense I would agree that a philosophy cannot give indications for a political order. I feel more an anarchist today than a communist, in the sense that I'm sure whether a socialistische Wirtschaft und so weiter could be better or not. But my impression is that we cannot propose precise social structures being inside the old ones. For instance, in Italy, the strength of the right has always been, but what do you propose exactly? And the poor people, what they can propose? They cannot propose, cut the head of all the capitalists. So say, well, blah, blah, blah. And in this way, the left has lost any popularity. People don't vote any longer on the left. They don't vote on the right. They don't go to the polls, simply. They stay apart from politics. And so we have the technicians, we have the impositions of the European Union, which is now more or less, they pay me, so I cannot speak against the European Union. I am a member of the parliament. But I am aware that also because of the majority of the governments in Europe, we are simply an agency of the American multinational capitalism. That's absolutely almost nothing else. Sometimes we vote for the homosexual unions, for instance, but in Italy not even that, which is a sort of symbolic, like Gonzalez and the last Spanish prime minister, who was it? Oh, senora. The young man who was prime minister in Spain.
Zapatero,
oui. Now, Zapatero has considered this symbolic satisfactions for the defenders of the civil rights and so on, because it didn't cost very much. It costed him the popularity with the Catholics and so on, but at least he gave that. The Spanish capitalism was the same all the time, but at least there was this idea of being more free for the Movida. Okay, so this is why I think that a sort of philosophical impassion, spinta, philosophical tribe is necessary for the left. I took part in London a couple of years ago, or first 1 year ago, maybe 1 year ago, to a colloquium on communism, the idea of communism. There were Zizek, Zizek was not there because he was, Zizek was there, but Ernest Laclau was not there, but there was Tony Negri, all these people of the international left circus, leftist circus. And sometimes they speak two different things. What I don't understand is why people listen to Tony Negri or to Agamben, because they speak much more abstractly than I. I don't understand their writing. So. But when I ask these people, the young people from Naples, for instance, who are fans of Agamben or from, I know these persons and I respect them, but I don't understand. I don't understand even Badiou, for instance, with whom I agree many times on specific political questions, but all this Platonism of the numbers and so on is absolutely. I wonder what kind of use is all this theory for a possible revolution or social transformation. So I feel much, much better with my weak thought, because I spared you the weak thought. I didn't tell you the story of weak thought, But we saw this, the idea that on the basis of Nietzsche and Heidegger, the only possible ideal of emancipation, of liberation for humanity is the progressive reduction of the absolutes in terms of objective laws, of objective resistances and so on. So this is a form of neo-Hegelianism, the fact of transforming reality into spirit, symbols and so on. But if you take, for instance, Norbert Elias' story, History of the Modern Civilization, this was the point, reducing violence through the symbolization, through the formalization of that. In this sense, I feel I have a sort of a possible political leading thread, but of course it is not enough. And by the way, that's also why I would like to reform in the world a communist movement, because I cannot invent the new world alone. I have to stay in contact with, by the way, I call das schwaches Denken also das Denken der Schwachen. Ich meine, who is scandalized by the idea that there is no truth, only interpretation? Obviously, the Pope, the authorities, the rich, the poor are not interested in defending the absoluteness of truth. The poor are defending that, losing their chains. But the chains, they need to know how things are only in order to modify it, not in order to be satisfied with something which is aere perennius and so on. So the pensiero debole is also il pensiero dei deboli, in my opinion. And so, by the way, even more democratic, because the poor and weak are more numerous than the rich, than the other ones. So I stay on the side of the majority. My democracy is sure.
Gibt es noch Fragen?
Sì, sì. Ah, no, pardon. Su, coraggio, ragazzi. Coraggio, ragazzi, si italiani.
Dankeschön. Ich hätte eine Frage in Bezug auf, Sie haben gesprochen über ein Subjekt, das hat immer eine Entscheidung, einen Kompromiss, eine Stellungnahme, ein Engagiertsein vor das Ereignis des Seins und so weiter. Und ich habe auch gesagt, dass es immer eine Doppelsinnigkeit, eine Doppelbegriff gibt. Und ich interpretiere das als Doppelsinnigkeit, Ambiguität des Ereignisses des Seins. Ich frage mich, oder ich würde Ihnen fragen, diese Entscheidung oder diesen Kompromiss des Jetzt, wo liegt der Ursprung dieses Entscheidung, der Entscheidung, des Kompromisses? Und ob dieser Ursprung ist irgendwie gerichtet oder ja, hat einen Sinn irgendwie. Aha. Weil, also auch bei Heidegger gab es einen Kompromiss, eine Entscheidung mit einem gewissen Ursprung. Oder die Frage ist auch, ist es immer gerechtfertigt irgendwelche Kompromiss?
I understand what you mean. It is the same question of the metaphysical truth. I mean, do I have a universalistic justification for my choices? No, I don't have. I realize that in order to decide to take a position, you must believe in something. Can you believe in something without believing that it is true forever and for all? I have a personal religious tradition, so I would never try to convert you to Christianity if you were a Buddhist, for instance. Because even the idea, why? Because I have the consciousness of the history of conversions in the West, which was always accompanied by, always, not always, of course, the first Christians, people fell in love with Jesus, and that's why I am a Christian also, but surely I am very conscious of the fact that the universalistic claim of the Christian faith, it has been for the main part of the time a sort of imperialistic effort to impose upon us. Of course, this is also one of the discussions, one of the few discussions I had personally with Habermas, because Habermas said to me, but you have the responsibility to affirm something with the idea that it is valid for everybody. Yeah, but I am not so sure that it is so, because Jesus surely didn't know anything about natural law. He took the Bible and he interpreted it in a way more lovely for other people, but absolutely, he never said that I have to read the Bible so and so because the natural structure of being is Adam. So,
could we say that there is something before this is idea of truth? I mean, for example, by Jesus, man spricht von Liebe, zum Beispiel.
Sí. Liebe ist etwas. Ja, Liebe ist nicht eine Aussage. Liebe. Is not love is not a proposition. It's an Ereignis, but in the sense that when I say you have to love your fellow man, is this true or false? I don't know. It is an appeal, like Jesus encountering the young rich and look at him and say, okay, but come with me. So, in many senses, at the basis of any philosophical Aussage, there is a sort of belonging to a historical, cultural, spiritual situation which we can modify, but we cannot simply jump out of that saying there is something outside. So, in many senses, this is hermeneutics, by the way, the theory, the philosophical hermeneutics. So, in many senses, I'm not scandalized by the fact that I don't have universalistic truth to offer. Take one of the last interviews of Paul Ricoeur on Le Monde. It was a very short interview. Ricoeur was asked, you are a philosopher or a hermeneutic. Are you a relativist? He said, well, I don't know. I can only say that having had this experience, having read these authors, this is my position. Here stay, come here, Luther sagt something. Here stay, ich, here stay, okay, qui stiamo. E questo è il punto. This doesn't mean that I don't have reasons to have that. I show you my reasons, you show you yours, and probably we can agree on many things. You have read Marx, Nietzsche, and Freud, and also St. Thomas, and so on. We can agree on something, but this is the only truth we can catch. I mean, we cannot say we agree because we have found the truth, but on the contrary, we have found the truth, we say that because we agree, because we found an agreement. This is not that...
agreement is also, die Truth, die Wahrheit ist nachträglich zum diesem Agree. Wir sind zusammen, es gibt so mehr eine Gesellschaftlichkeit oder also vor, um die Wahrheit zu kommen.
Die Wahrheit ist nicht da. Die Wahrheit happens. Die Wahrheit ist ein Ereignet sich. Es ist nicht, ich finde, the people who object to that are mainly scientists or scientistics. I mean, but science? But science is the most unsafe thing they have, because Popper is not an hermeneutician. I mean, science proposes hypotheses which are true insofar they are not belied, but not. I usually say that even the repetibility of the scientific experiment is just a way of discursus dominum. Imagine, when you establish a general law of the fall of the weight, do you know something more on the essence of the apple which is going down from the tree? No, you simply formulate in communicable, shareable terms what is your experience. And this is in order to be repeated by somebody else. So it is a way of persuading other people that this is the case. And until nobody belies it, this is the truth. But this is also Hegelian. Hegel exactly, more or less, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The three moments of the dialectics, you can model them on this point. So I don't feel uneasy with the scientists. And the scientists are not scandalized. The scientists people want to, so the popes, all the kind of popes are against this idea because they want, they don't want that because of the salvation of the souls. They want it because of their authority.
Ja, vielen Dank. Also wir sind schon außer Zeit. Also ich würde Sie leider unterbrechen. Vielen Dank.
Danke Ihnen. No,
vielen Dank für Ihre Frage. Vielen Dank für alle Zuhörer, die so geduldsam zugehört haben. Und die Tagung geht jetzt weiter im Lismanaus.
D'Angelo hat the text in German, somebody is so strong interested in the text, you can obtain it.